we have, or at one point have had, that desire to do great things and to be someone great. Some call it the idealism of youth. But I think of it as a weapon that God gives us, gives to the youth and those with a youthful heart, an idealism and a willingness to dream of great things as if they were possible. Now, the youth often do not realize the sacrifices and the sufferings required to achieve these things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that their idealism is misguided. For example, the young man often desires to take up sword and shield to slay that dragon that no other man has the courage to slay, for the glory of it, and also maybe for to save the damsel in distress. That is, he desires to be a hero. He desires to risk life and limb for love sometimes. And that is a noble dream. I think God places that desire on the hearts of the youth, especially to draw them into a greater and higher form of living, a total self-giving and self-sacrificing love, a doing all for the good of the other, sacrificing anything for the good of the other. And that is often, as young people, where we start. We start with that, those dreams. But then where do many of us end up over the course of life? We end often in mediocrity, in that good enough stage. What is the least I can do to get by? I just want to do enough to be a good Christian, or a good spouse, or a good student. The minimum requirement. It's that thing we work toward, and when we get there, we stop. We cut off those great desires. But when we do that, when we remove that greatness from our horizon, we begin to wither. In Pope Francis' words, he says, our hearts become numb. We become anesthetized. And this is why we return again and again to the Gospels. And we return to that mysterious person of Jesus Christ. Often when I hear him say things like he did in today's Gospel, I just have this image of him standing before me, right in front of me, and just looking at me and saying these things. And it kind of, I don't know, helps me to see the impact of what he's saying. And today we hear it rather forcefully. Mediocrity has no place in the Christian. For the supreme and guiding commandment from Almighty God is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, what is the minimum requirement of a Christian disciple? To give God everything. That is the minimum requirement. The entirety of yourself, your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, your strength, all of your actions, and so forth. And that can sound a little bit idealistic. But woe to us if we write it off as youthful idealism. These are the words of Christ given to us. The God who created us is telling us, this is what you are made for, and nothing less. If we take it to be just youthful idealism, then the tactics of the devil have succeeded. In this day and age, the devil's most successful tactic, or most successful weapon, you might say, is indifference and apathy. Where we say, it doesn't really matter anyway. I'm a good person. I do the minimum requirements. And then God uses some of our favorite entertainments to distract us and keep us from acting. I had a buddy in the seminary who was in the Air Force before he joined the seminary, and he had a placard on his wall when he was in the Air Force, and it read, the enemy trains every day to kill you. What are you going to do about it today? And certainly when you're in the military, that has a very real significance, that the enemy is training to kill you, and you cannot take for granted that you may be in the best military in the world, but that doesn't mean you don't train. You have to continue to train. But then he brought this motto with him to the seminary in his training for priesthood. The enemy trains every day to kill you. What are you going to do about it today? And it has that spiritual corollary. The devil works and trains every day to kill you, to steal your eternal soul. What are you going to do about it today? So first, we have to acknowledge that there is a spiritual war going on. and that the devil can use our favorite things to defeat us. He is the master of deceit and the father of lies. And he wants us to think that it's peacetime. He wants us to just enjoy ourselves and give up the fight, to do the bare minimum. But our vices, we are to war against them. We ourselves are a battlefield, and that battle has eternal consequences. And while we are alive, that fighting will never stop. But God wants total victory. He wants all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our actions, and so forth. He wants it all. He wants total victory over us. And the crazy thing is that the one who draws the battle lines, well, that's ourselves. Because we're the ones who say, well, God can have this part and this part, but not this part. And so I'll draw the line here. We're the ones who set those boundaries. And we're often the ones that hold back God from that total victory. And so we first acknowledge that there is a spiritual war going on, one with eternal consequences. And then second, we have to know the tactics of the enemy. And the ones he employs every day are often rather subtle. And they come in kind of reasonable whispers. You're already a good Christian. This thing isn't that bad. That Jesus stuff is a little too much. Give up. You can't overcome that vice. The church already asks a lot from you anyway. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care. You can just go back to confession. I think that priest is only 12 years old anyway. All those little comments in your head encourage you to the bare minimum. They encourage you to that minimum requirement. They encourage you to, and they encourage all of us to, mediocrity. And those are his tactics, and they can be rather successful. But when we settle into mediocrity, and when we settle for the least thing, then we become even closer to falling away from God entirely, for allowing the devil the ultimate victory over ourselves. And so we do not settle for the least requirement. We ask, what is the most I can do for my spouse? What is the most I can do for my sister? What is the most I can do for that stranger? What is the most that I can do for God? Because the first and greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is not idealism. It is Jesus wanting to set our hearts on fire so that our whole being comes alive, so that we become the men and women God has created us to be, so that we train and fight every single day for the salvation of our souls, for the souls of our loved ones, and for the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth.